church as small as you can. Strange talk, isn't it? That's what this guy says. And that was coming from a man who himself had pastored quite a large congregation. But what he meant was preach the truth of God's salvation and the demands of following Jesus so clearly that only those who have counted the cost are ready to give up all for Christ will join themselves to you. And I think there's something in that. And I know as a minister, over the years I've struggled with this. You know, I've got concern with growth. You know, you think, man, you want to see the church grow. But of course, when you do that, when you get into the number thing, then you get so focused on bums on seats, as an example, that lends you to kind of water down the message.
Yeah.
Because the concern seems to be more about bums on seats.
Yeah.
And that's not what it is. And I think if our focus as a church and as a people say, no, it's not about who comes or who doesn't come. It's about the truth.
Yeah.
It's about salvation. It's about preaching God's word. At the end of the day, we know that God would prefer 10 committed people than 1,000 lukewarm, unfaithful people who just rock up to church and fill the seats.
Come on, mate.
It's not about filling the seat. It's not about, I mean, as much as I talk about the MCG, sure, that'd be awesome, but 100,000 disciples.
Yeah.
We could fill the MCG, but what's the point?
Yeah. Come on, brother.
And I like that, but I think Jesus was about that. Jesus was about simply, hey, he turns to the crowd and says, you need to know if you're going to follow me. Yeah, I appreciate the fact you've seen the miracles. I appreciate the fact, but I hope you understand what this truly means. So today as we talk about this a little bit, this whole idea of carrying the cost, I've got two quick points for you this morning, two points to consider. First point is cost. Second point is call. Cost or call. You can imagine how that may work. You know, at this point they've seen so much. And yes, there is a cost in following Jesus. I'm not going to water that down. There is a cost in following Jesus. It will cost you something. But of course, as you think about the cost of following, think about what it may cost you not following.
Yeah.
Think about what it may cost you not following. How's it going to hurt you not following? And I can tell you now, looking back at my life, oh, I don't regret any decision I've made when it comes to following. I don't look back and say, man, why'd I become disciple? Boy, why'd I do that? Look what I've missed out on. Boy, look what I could have had. If I wasn't a disciple, I can tell you now, if I wasn't a disciple, I would not be married today. I would have got a divorce, and not because of my wife, because of me. Because I'm arrogant, I'm prideful, I'm selfish by nature, I'm chauvinistic. That's me as a person. Without God, that I never would have lasted. So man, you know, it's not about that. But think about that for a second. We need to understand the cost. Without a doubt, but not focused on the cost. As much as Jesus says this, I think we need to understand the cost, but we need to not focus on the cost. And that's where I think the whole idea that what we need to focus on more will be the calling, as well as understanding the cost. Let's go through this a little bit. Let's work through this text a bit here. So the first thing he says is, if anyone comes to me, the first thing he says, and does not hate his father and mother, we read it, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, if you read that for the first time, you think, man, Jesus is using the word, you've got to hate your parents, you've got to hate these people. Of course, that's not what he means, but he's saying that you need to love me more.
Yeah.
That Jesus needs to be number one.
Yeah.
Why is that? Boy, that's a bit selfish. No, I think Jesus understands, and I understand this, so I think Jesus understands that if he's not number one, if something else can get in the way, it's gonna distract us from the ultimate goal. And what's the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is being with God forever in eternity.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal. It's not a selfish thing. God has got your best interests at heart.
Yeah.
God has got your best interests. And even though that may be a hard lesson, when you have a heavenly Father who cares for you that much, that's the way it works. I always think parents, I mean, you know, my mum always told me that wait till you grow up, wait till you grow up. How many times have I heard that? Wait till you grow up, wait till you grow up. You'll see, wait till you grow up, wait till you grow up. You know what? She's right. When I think about the things my mother told me, she was spot on. I never listened. And that didn't do me any favours by not listening. But she was right. And as a parent, you know that. You know how crucial it is. Most of us as parents do not give our kids, I mean, in this room I'm talking about, I think out the world, I think kids get some pretty bad advice. But I think in this room, if you're a disciple, you don't give your kids bad advice. I think generally you don't. So you know how this works. And they buck and they weave and you know, they kind of get all narky and give you the stare and argue with you, you know, try and give them try and get them to clean their rooms and all that sort of stuff. It gets pretty intense. It's the littlest things. You think, you don't understand, if I'm teaching you, it's good for you to be disciplined. It's good for you to be responsible. But you can't, you know, you just, I want to wring your neck. Don't you understand this? Don't you get this? You know? Turn off the light, for heaven's sake! Yes. Turn off the light, please! Electricity costs are going to the roof! Turn off the light! And you don't even know already that the electricity that you paid for during this heat wave is 400 times! You're going to get a whopping bill. He's like, what happened? Because they had to pay more for it. They're going to pass it on to you. Don't think about that too much. It's the cost. Cost of the aircon. But you know what I'm talking about. You're just this, and now, my dad, how many times I hear my dad say, turn off the light, son. Wait till you have to pay for the bill. How many of us have heard that and said it? And I know one day, my sons, I cannot wait to be in their house and hear that, whatever they're going to name their children, please clean your room, yes. Please turn off the light, yes. If only the Lord keeps me alive just to hear that. I will be a happy man. Enough of that frivolity. I can't help myself when I get up here. It's true though, isn't it? And so the point is that God, you know, God will tell us things, but he's got a good reason for it. When he says this, it's because he knows. It's like the light switch. He knows. Clean your room. He knows. And if something else is going to distract you, like your family, if someone's going to veer off the path, says, no, you've got to focus on me. I've got to be number one. Because I want to get you to a place that's going to secure eternity for you. Amen. And he goes on. He talks about carrying the cross. You know, often people think, what does that mean to carry a cross? Does it mean to go down to Bunnings and get a 2-piece of 4x2? And no. Does it mean to put yourself up on a cross with stainless steel skewers? No, he doesn't mean that at all. I think without a doubt for me, Jesus knew what he was going to. Jesus could read about his death, and he carried his cross, and he counted the cost before he decided. And I think for us, we have our cross to carry if we know what's ahead of us. He talks about the tower. He talks about these two examples. We'll combine these two. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. We've read it. Suppose once you go to war against the king, he says, hey, you do these things and you figure out what it's going to cost you. And I think for us, we need to figure it out. But I think that's the thing about this is we need to figure it out. The thing that's interesting about this, Jesus doesn't go into detail about what the cost actually is. He mentions this, the thing about the father and the mother, but there's more to it than that, obviously. But you know what? I think because he wants you to figure out what's it going to cost you. What's it going to cost you personally? You need to think about that. Because I can tell you now, some people think more about the cost than anything else. And they get dissuaded because of the cost. But you know what? It's not just even about that. As much as you sit down and try and prepare for what the cost is, you've always got to remember one thing. If any of you have ever built a house, you'll always know. Or if any of you tried to buy a house, you'll always know that there are hidden costs. There are hidden costs. Normally with what we do, there's always something you didn't think about. There's always some sort of hidden little trap, some sort of fine print. Not that I'm accusing the Bible of any fine print. What I'm saying is that when you go on and you live the life of a disciple, you can say, you know what, I want to follow Jesus. You can think, yep, I've got it, I've figured it out, I know what it means. But you know what, you're going to have to plan for some hidden costs. Because some things may come up that you weren't prepared for. You know, I remember that when I first became a disciple, and I'll share my conversion a little bit towards the end. But I remember when I became a disciple, it was all fairly breezy in some sense. I mean, I accepted it, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, as I said. But, you know, one thing for sure is that as I went on, things started to pop up, which I didn't anticipate. There were some hidden challenges that I need to deal with in my life. I need to be more vulnerable. You know, I talked about the fact beforehand that I was a bit of I was chauvinistic, and I was. I looked down on women. I really did. And I didn't have a lot of respect. I had to deal with that. I had to challenge myself to deal with that and have a lot more respect and learn how to treat women differently. Because I'm telling you now, I was not a nice boyfriend. You would have dumped me, I can assure you. You would have not lasted long. And rightly so. Matter of fact, I think most of my girlfriends dumped me. It's a shame, actually, a bit sad. But it's the truth. And why? Because I was selfish, I was arrogant. But you know, I had to learn to be vulnerable. I had to learn to deal with that. And that was kind of like a hidden thing that kind of just came up. You know, what's it going to cost you? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it a little bit. What's it going to cost? We've got to talk about the cost here. What is it going to cost? Well, it might cost you some time. Yeah. Okay, it's going to cost you a bit of time. That's not really true. It's going to cost you a lot of time. That's not really true either. Matter of fact, it's going to cost you all your time. That's more truth. But you know what? I love that. And I'm not ashamed to say that. You know why? Because there are people in the world that devote themselves to at the end will mean nothing. There are guys out there, they're flying their jets, whatever they're doing, they're in high corporate society, and they're living this life, and they give their life totally to that. Totally to that. That's all that matters. If you work for some corporations, man, they want it, and they want more, and they want more, and they want more. You know what? The world looks at that success, and if you give your life to the world, to a corporation, to money, to wealth, to success, and you give your life to that, the world says, man, what an inspiration. What an inspiration you are. Man, people write books about it. How to be successful. How to make your second million. How to do this. How to do that. How to get the most. How to have so many properties. How to have financial security forever. And man, someone says, hey, I'm giving my life to God. I want to devote my... Yeah, I'm in this world and I'll have a job and I'll do things, but that's a means to an end.
That's right.
I do that to serve God. Someone comes along and says, I want to give my life to God, and now you're a lunatic, you're brainwashed, you're this, you're that. You know, I don't get it. Yeah. But you know, it's a cost we need to face. And I think it's a cost we should be not ashamed of.
Amen, mate.
It's a cost we shouldn't even be ashamed of. Someone wants to say, man, that's all you seem to do. You seem to just talk about God and the church. Well, all you do is want to sit in front of the TV. That's true. All you want to do is YouTube. You want to do Facebook. All you want to do is selfies. Go to some people's Facebook pages. There's like a million pictures of them. I didn't know what a selfie was until I had to figure it out. Now the big talk is selfie. I mean, you can't get more. I mean, what is that all about? Seriously, I've seen it. I've seen some of these players. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's like every second. Here's another selfie. Here I am. 1 second later. I haven't changed. It may cost you some earthly pleasures. It may cost you emotionally. And probably it will cost you that. It may cost you emotionally. And I can say that in my life that I've given emotionally. And it hurts emotionally at times. I can tell you I've lost great friends. And you say, well, hang on a second, why aren't they friends anymore? Because they left. Why don't you chase them? Well, they don't want to be my friend. We became friends because of God. Because I became a disciple. It can cost you emotionally. Some of us aren't prepared to pay that cost, by the way. Some people leave because of that cost. because it becomes too much of an emotional drain for them. Some people go into leadership and step out. Why? Too emotionally draining, too hard to give, too hard to... Yeah, it may cost you that. You know, payday comes later, but we want it now. You know, it may cost you today, we may feel like, you know, it may cost you a lot of giving. In friendship and in service. You may feel like you're always asked to do things. It may cost you. It's going to cost. You may feel like you give and nothing comes back. It may cost you that. We get that way. I feel that way at times. I feel for me that some of the relationships I have, if it's not for me, if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have a relationship. And I know people may feel that about me. People may feel like, you know, and I ring you, you never ring me much. But you know what? I don't think about that. I don't think about that at all. If I give, I give without thinking about... If I invite someone for dinner, I don't say, okay, this week they better start... When are they going to invite me now? When am I going to get the invite back? I don't think... I honestly do not think that way. If we have people over, we have people over. If I have friendship, I don't think, well, he didn't ring me, I'm going to wait till they ring me back. I don't think that way. That's not the gospel.
Right,
and if I start to think that way, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to become a bitter person. Somewhere along the line, I'm going to get a little bit bitter about my life.
Yeah.
And I try. I don't. I honestly don't. You know. And that's why I live my life. I give and I give and I try and give. I can't give to everybody. But if I've got things to do, I'll reach out to people. If it doesn't come back, it doesn't come back. I'm fine with that. It's not going to stop me giving at the end of the day.
Amen.
You know, we can't start keeping count of what it's going to cost us. It's not about the cost. It is surely about the calling. And there are so many other things. I mean, this is just a short list of the things that may cost us. All I know about the cost is simply this. If we want something enough, we'll pay for it. That's the fact. You know that as well as I do. You know, if I compare men and women here, you know, I'm amazed at the amount of money women spend on clothing. That's not bad. Because I'm amazed, because for me, for women, they'll spend a lot of money on shoes or handbags and these sort of things. Oh, I don't have a handbag, obviously. I'm into shoes. Karen has to buy clothing for me. When she does, I complain when she tries to buy me clothing. I'm happy. I've got a pair of shorts I wear around the house that I got back in Bali in 1995 or something. It's threadbare. I mean, but they're comfortable. I put them on, they fall straight down. I said to Karen the other day, she knows not to throw them out. She'd love to, but she knows not to. And I said to her, I said, have we got any elastic to put? Can I put some string through this? Since I bought these things in Bali, they're a Nike imitation from Bali, I can tell you now. If somebody would like to fix my shorts, my precious shorts, no. Karen will do it. Karen will do it. Hey, she's not going to do it anymore. Oh, no, I've upset my wife. I'm in trouble. Anyway. But for me, you know, you'd be amazed the amount of money I might spend on a set of tyres, right, John Beverlecker? It doesn't matter, right? Whatever it is, if you want something enough, you'll pay for it. And let me tell you now, you don't think about the cost. And you know that. If something means that much to you, it won't matter what the cost is. You'll find a way to justify it in your mind. And I think we need to understand that today. Second point, lastly, before we've run out of time, we've got 1 minute to go.
Come on.
Before 12 o'clock. And that's the call. I think we'll talk about salt. Sorry about that. Forgot to talk about salt. You know, I think the call, sometimes we don't answer the call because we're thinking too much about the cost. And I say the Bible with many people, I can assure you that when I've sat down and within the first study, people are already thinking about what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
They are. Let me tell you now, they are. Everybody thinks about the cost. And there are people visiting here today, a lot of you thinking, oh man, yeah, I know this. And I'm going to get to this because today if you're visiting, it's time to answer the call today.
Amen.
Don't wait. You may think, well, I don't know enough. Let's turn and look at some calls in the Bible quickly. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, beginning of verse 16, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, casting it into the lake, for they were fishermen. Pardon me. Come follow me, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I then go to Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. And we stop. Now some callings down. Let me deal with a bit of a misconception. I think when a lot of people read this, and me as well, when I've read this and I've explained to people, I thought, you know what? Because when you read this, you think, how can these guys just simply get up and follow Jesus? They must have known him first. They must have known him first. That could be a little misconception. I think we think, let me read something to you, because you're not going to believe me, but you might believe Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I can see some of you looking at me like, okay. Huh? Cost of Discipleship. Is Gloria here?
Yes.
You got me this book, you know, Gloria? You've written in it, Dear Mike, 8th of the 9th, 01. I'm not going to give this book away, Gloria. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German. He was a theologian, died fairly young. He was executed, hung by the Nazis just before the end of World War II. He was a German himself, was living in New York, and peacefully in New York, and he went back to Germany to try and be anti-Nazi, and was, anyway, he did that and preached the word. But he says this, and he uses the quote in Mark 2:14, but he says, the call goes forth, and is at once followed by the response of obedience. The response of the disciples is an act of obedience, not a confession of faith in Jesus. How could the call immediately evoke obedience? So he asked the question, how could the call, these guys just go straight away? The story is a stumbling block for the natural reason. And it is no wonder that fanatic attempts have been made to separate the two events. By hook or by crook, a bridge must be found between them. Something must have happened in between, some psychological or historical event. Thus we get the stupid question, surely the publican must have known Jesus before, and that previous acquaintance explains his readiness to hear the master's call. Unfortunately, our text is ruthlessly silent on this point, and in fact it regards the immediate sequence of call and response as a matter of crucial importance. And we'll leave it there. So what does he talk about? He talks about the fact that, yeah, it seems like, because it doesn't seem to be reasonable to us that they could just simply get up, surely there must have been some acquaintance. I know when I've studied Mark 1 with people, I've said, well, John the Baptist called them out first. Now, let me just say this. We do that because we think, how can someone just respond so quickly? How can you be so obedient? Well, he'll go on to say, well, the reason that is because Jesus is the one doing the calling. Okay, we're not calling them. And I think maybe we struggle here because we think somehow if we're calling people, we're trying to reach out to people. Gee, we don't see people respond to us, but they're not responding to you anyway. They're responding to God. That's the issue. And when Jesus calls. Let me tell you, I didn't think this was possible until just a few weeks, well, a couple of months back, we started studying the Bible with Patrick Ma, who's a guy from China. He's back in China now for a couple of months. And Patrick Ma, when he came along after that first service, this guy didn't believe anything, didn't know about God, didn't know about Jesus, had no belief. But after that one service, you know what? He started to believe. Let me tell you now, if we pushed it, he would have got baptized like that. He would have become a disciple like that. And he's a guy that knew nothing. Knew nothing. Why? Because God was preparing his heart.
Yeah.
See, do you believe that God prepares all men's hearts, regardless of culture, regardless of upbringing, regardless what religion they were faced with? Do you believe that God works in all men's hearts? Do you believe the Spirit of God tries to touch men and prepare men's hearts?
Yeah.
The answer to that is yes. And it has to be yes. And so when we read this, I've done it. Oh, they must have known John the Baptist. Oh, surely Jesus. No, no, no. Jesus called. And they knew it was Christ. They knew the truth when they saw it. And they responded in obedience.
Amen.
See, when you hear the call, you have to know, people sitting here today, you know what? You're here for a reason.
Yeah.
The call is there.
Yeah.
And you know it. And people know it, and that's why they walk away from it. That's why when you ask them, man, they're darting left, right and centre to avoid, because they're being called. And they've knocked it back so many times. You knock it back too many times, your heart gets hard.
Mike.
Knock it back too many times. I don't know, maybe God will stop calling. I don't know the answer to that. All I know is, it's not about having some sort of, well, I have to have knowledge. I need to do this. I don't know enough. I don't really. No, you do know. That's the point.
Yeah.
Because it's not me that's calling you.
Yeah.
God came calling a long time before I did.
Yeah.
As he comes calling in many people's lives. And maybe today, you know, you can be a disciple. And we can easily, you know, I'm really excited. I'm going to digress a bit here, but I'm really excited about the fact that we're going to be starting a series in the church over the next few months about deep convictions.
Come on, Mike.
Announced it to the leaders yesterday. I'm excited about it. Because I think a lot of us, I'm not sure where our convictions lie, and I think we have convictions a little bit all over the place. And I think it has to do with this. I think it has to do with two things. One, we've stopped paying the price. We don't want to count the cost anymore. And two, we've stopped hearing God's voice in our lives. And I think it's time to hear the call. For all of us. And again, if you're visiting today, I want to encourage you, whoever brought you here, study the Bible. Don't throw this off. Don't blow this off.
Yeah.
Sit and study the Bible. Just give it a go for a week or two. Just give it a go. What can it harm you? We're not going to ask you. Let me tell you now. We only want people committed.
Yeah.
So we're not going to drag you in here. We're not going to water this down for you to somehow because we want you on our seat. We want people here that are disciples.
Yeah.
Who love God, who want to follow God, who see the truth. That's us.
Yeah.
So if you want to be that disciple, man, we absolutely. So we're not going to push you into anything that you don't want to do, but at least check it out. That's my call to you personally.
Amen.
At least check it out.
Amen.
Today we've heard the cost. We've seen the cost. And it's not, as I said, there's no detail here because Jesus wants us all to figure it out ourselves to sit down. But let's not focus on the cost. Let's understand the cost. Let's not focus on it. There's a greater call in our lives than the cost. Let's not focus on the cost, but let's focus on the call that God has for us. And that's a fantastic call.
Amen.
That is a great call and a worthy call to pay the price. God bless you. Amen.
Yeah.